Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Bezant Resources. Welcome back, Colin. How's things?
Things, I'm going to say, great. You know, it's heads up and away we go. Obviously, things are very tough in the mining world and the geopolitical world. But nonetheless, the opportunities are there. The requirements for copper are there and gold and the rest of the commodities, particularly copper, nickel. And gold seems to be sticking away at 2,300. So business we're in, the fundamental prices and the projections for the prices are good. But life is tough, but it never was easy, was it?
Absolutely not.
Now, the company recently signed an exclusive collaboration agreement with PCB Mining Limited for its small-scale exploration license in Zambia. Bezant will earn a 15% interest in the license by providing a project restart plan and assisting in obtaining finance. The license covers 375 hectares in northwest Zambia and includes significant artisanal gold prospecting, indicating potential for gold and other minerals. Bezant can increase its share to 40% if it matches terms offered by a mine contractor. The agreement allows Bezant to further its exploration strategy without immediate funding requirements. You expressed enthusiasm about entering Zambia and highlighted the project's potential for gold. The project, located in a region with diverse mineralization, will focus initially on assessing small-scale mining prospects and developing an exploration program.
So it looks finally like Bezant are expanding into Zambia there, Colin.
Expanding into Zambia, that's an interesting way of putting it. I think that essentially, you know, whatever we do is Southern Africa. As you know, we're well placed in Namibia and Botswana for that matter. So it's quite obvious that when we was approached by PCB, and we approached them actually about a year and a half ago, I guess we initiated discussions. It was good that we put another leg into the Southern African leg, into the Bezant portfolio, Bezant stable, if you like.
Very good, Colin. So tell us just a little bit more detail about the project that we're talking about here. What are we hoping to achieve through this project?
Well, this, you know, Zambia, of course, as you well know, well, as I know, that Zambia is known for gold. You know, there's the sort of suspicion, the academia talking about IOCGs, and, you know, that's gold in the presence of copper. But pure gold players, you don't talk about Zambia in the same breath. But about 2 years ago, it must have been now, maybe even three, there was somewhat of a gold rush into that area. And the artisanal miners came in plenty. And there was some quite large nuggets of gold found. But that was all alluvial stuff. We sent a geologist there to have a look at it. Once we'd got a, we tentatively got a, you know, your typical NDA agreement and got the rights to visit the property and review it. And our geologists were sort of cynical, so I think the one way of putting it, when they first went a few years ago, on the basis, like I've just said, that copper and Zambia is one thing, gold and Zambia is another thing. But and there was a very sort of glassy looking quartz, 6 meter wide or so, rain, and they saw three visible gold in there, and so they cracked open the material, and the gold was actually three. So that was very encouraging, because often, you know, the gold can be encapsulated and you can have as much gold as you like, but the chance of getting it out is zero, or close on zero, or you don't get enough out could be cost. But no, this was quite free gold. And as I say, some huge nuggets found in the alluvials. And so PCB did a sort of rudimentary plant there. And now they're aware of the fact that there's big exploration potential to, you know, find a big sustainable gold project. But likewise, there's a short-term opportunity to start up, and maybe some improvements required to the present plant to start up a gold operation. So from that point of view, that will be a two-pronged attack of ours. But the first thing we're going to do is a review and a report to our potential partners PCB, with a view to deciding what is the best way forward. I suspect it'll be the same story, that we look towards a small operation, and but at the same time, having our eyes on what might be a big exploration project. Having sort of gone through this sort of prognosis, oh, you know, gold's unusual in Zambia's copper-bearing country. That holds true, of course, for this concession, because there is plenty of evidence of copper activity in the past in the area. So one shouldn't discount it for copper potential as well. Situated just off the Thruston Fold, up towards the northwest. And then that's where the geology turns all funny, you know, hence the interest in the northwest for Congolese-type mineralization, and hence this, shall we say, no, calling it a phenomena. It's reality. It's off traditional copper belt, and the gold potential is there. It's being mined on an alluvial basis, so we've got a shot at a new gold project. And equally, we don't discount copper, so we like it. It's a good deal. It's a cost effective deal. We're kind of offering our services as a mining company to go and review it. That costs us our sort of wages, computer modeling, and those sort of things, salaries and geological time, port writing, and then of course we've got a decision to make whether we want to go forward with it. So it's a deal structured for the times we live in, i.e. where cash is certainly king. What cash you've got to look after. And this project has been structured, taking note of that.
Okay, so any further movement on what's happening in Namibia with Hope and Dora?
Yes, we're awaiting a mining license, as you know. Been awaiting for quite a while now, and we're doing everything technically and humanly possible to progress our license application. And we remain hopeful that we will get one in the short-term future. Other than that, of course, all the contractors, everybody is geared up and ready for starting the mining operation. It really is ready for the off.
Yeah, and I mean, while we're in Namibia, then tell us a little bit also in terms of Bongo. Is it you have a mining license there? Is there any further anything you can tell us about that?
Well, on Gobbo, we've got all options open there, and we may, of course, couple it with Open Gorup. There's a potential for a plant between the two. There's a siding at Tongombo, which goes all the way to our proposed plant that we may be involved in, you know, that we've got an arrangement with. Both situations, we've got a siding, so Tongombo all could go down there. And there's also a plant not being used in the area, so there's many, many options open to Tongombo. But there is a linkage through to Open Gorup to get the two properties going.
Good. So what's your thoughts on the market in terms of copper and even the gold? What are your thoughts on what's happened? We seem to have had a significant leg up in both of them in the last few months.
Well, that's why the copper was to be expected. For every guy or every company or every corporation or every country what wants a copper price to go up, there's two wanted to go down. So it's got tremendous headwinds. But as I said in my presentation in London, like it or not, those headwinds will not be sufficient to stop the tide. The copper tide is inevitable. You've seen a short correction last about a week, and I see again now it's nudging its head forwards quite nicely. It's not a cut, you know. You can talk about copper balls, copper bears. If you're actually not talking about that, you're really going back to the Industrial Revolution and what oil did for the world when the internal combustion engine came along. You know, it wasn't the car makers what made the money. It was the oil-producing nations. It'll be the copper-producing nations in the new world, in the new technological world when we try to decarbonize. So I'm as settled about the long-term fundamentals of copper, and really nothing's going to change me. In terms of gold, with so much geopolitical tension around, so much financial tension around, so much push and pull on interest rates, and, you know, isn't it quite surprising the number of governments now and presidents and prime ministers calling snap elections, swinging from the left to the right? So much happening, Kevin. So much happening that uncertainty is bound to work nicely on gold. But you know what I've always said, you know, that don't think about Armageddon, think about a bright new future. And that's what we're doing with our copper. And of course, gold is a good edge to have in an uncertain world, which is the way it's structured, the way it's sort of the dynamics of working. It's not going to get much more stable in the short-term future, is it? So
no, it doesn't look like it, that's for sure. So just while it occurs to me and we're in Zambia, tell us a little bit about it. Obviously, I can picture it myself now because we visited it, but you know, you head just past the Mafalera there and you head on to
Lewansobi.
So just give us a bit of a rundown on Lewansobi, Galileo, Extra. So, you know, obviously there's licenses all over Zambia in terms of those two. So tell us a little bit about what's happening.
Well, as you know, we've got a mining license granted for Lewansobi, and we'll be talking, I've quite frankly been talking for the last year, to Chinese off-takers nearby. And whether that extends into a mining contract as well, we don't know. And that's yet to be discussed. But certainly an off-take agreement and a place to send the ore is quite a nice situation to be in. They need it, and we got it. The deep ore is the biggest attraction to me because, you know, about 550, 600 meters, it gets tenuous. And the forecast was 65 million tons at over 2%. is the one I'm chasing. That's what took me to Lewin-Sobey. That's what kept me at Lewin-Sobey. And that's my driving force. And, you know, we've done some modeling with Addison in the UK. And it's quite apparent that some of the deeper holes were not drilled in the right place. There's a reported hole at 1,250 meters over 2%. So continuity is suggested by everything you read. And that has to be tested because, if, you know, obviously, should Lewin-Sobey come up with anything like 60 million tons that's anywhere above 1.5%, it's a world-class ore body. Chinganda, we've got our drop program mapped out there. That's nicely mapped out. And we know exactly what we're looking for. We know it's that anchorite band between 0 to 80 meters below surface. We're talking about a stripping ratio of 1 to 1. And we're going to go into there. That program is being organized by the geologists now. And we're testing in the northwest. We're testing two of the targets. We'll be drilling 28001, and we'll be drilling the Galileo, and we'll be drilling in Extract. We're drilling probably the near surface exposure where there's tremendous bolting folding. The possibility is that the thrust and fold belt would have presented geological opportunities much closer to the surface than we might have imagined. So, gee whiz, are we active in, across the companies in Zambia? And we're not talking about it, of course. You know, this is talk what we're doing now. But we're talking about three drill programs about, you know, which will commence in the next couple of months. Three new drill programs plus possibly a mine. And then a new gold project. So are we active, Kevin? Boy, we're active.
Yeah, well, I mean, what you're talking about drilling there is between the Extract and Galileo. And obviously right in between that is you've got the African Pioneer First Quantum. Yeah. They're still drilling as well.
They're very, very active on the ground. It would be wrong for me to report what they're doing and without consultation with them. But you're absolutely right. We're all in the same territory. Proof of concept, Kevin, as you know, we've proved that the Western Foreland land does indeed go right the way through Zambia into Uganda. Proof of concept. That's without doubt now. The thrust and fold bolt, we've identified that. So nowadays, which one is going to find mineralization first? Because all the fundamentals are there, the jointing, salt, the fronts, everything you would want to find, Kevin, is there in terms of geological architecture. What we need now is entrapment, which has led to this sort of mineralization you see at Kamoa, you know, 1.5 billion tons around about 3.5%. And we have to be confident. We just have to be confident because the amount of money that's been paid by companies just to go into the Western Foreland, into virgin territory, and quite frankly, is amazing. And, you know, Ivanhoe turned down, I think it was $1 billion, so $35 billion for 35% a few years ago in the Western Foreland, and that hadn't been drilled. So we're into the right territory, right companies, and as you know, Galileo have cash, Extract has cash, and it's no good dancing, you know. You've got to start doing more than dancing. So we're actually getting the drilling machine there. We're testing 28001 is a big license, very high potential in Galileo. And of course, we announced the other day those two licenses in Extract, and they're right in elephant country as well. And I don't like sort of blowing my own trumpet, but I am known to debut for the saying that, you know, if you're looking for elephants, go looking where elephants have been found before. And Kamoa is certainly an elephant, isn't it?
Well, you always know where the elephants are because there's lots of shit on the way past.
On the way to them, yeah, that's right. You could say so, that.
And I mean, I suppose in a way that is the issue, isn't it? There is a lot of copper in Congo or the Democratic Republic of Congo, which is just over the border. And as you said, only 60 kilometers away, there's a huge mine, probably the second biggest in the world, that effectively
second richest, Kevin. In actual fact, if you actually got an aerial photograph, its footprint is quite modest. It is so high grade that it's not a big mine. I wouldn't describe it as a mega mine, but in terms of richness, this is the second richest mine.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we've got to find something similar, which geologically everybody thinks is more than probable. Certainly possible. So keep sticking the truth stick in the ground and it'll happen, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, I'm sort of more confident than that. And not as we, you know, it's not as though, I mean, normally when you talk about junior mining companies, you're talking about raw concepts. Isn't it? What's the possibility of finding some more here? What we've got here is a system, which is known to you know, I mean, Kamoa is only the first of what will be quite a few mines. We're talking about a country which produces and one of the, you know, key, is a key copper producer in the world. And we're talking about evidence of copper on surface, and we're talking about a system which supports it. So in terms of probability, we're not exactly at the casino. You're always at the casino with exploration to a certain degree, but we're not back in numbers, Kevin. It's black, red, or even.
Yeah, no, I think the possibility or the probability of finding something is pretty high, as you said. It's not the 50-1 in the Grand National job. This is a even money win lose situation. But the interesting thing is
50 of Troy in last week's derby.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is you have got Extract Resources, Galileo, and African Pioneer all in the same area. The chances of one of them not finding it, I think, has got to be close to zero. One of them's going to find it. You know, even Ivanhoe have realized this by taking all the licenses in Angola just over the border, you know. So they believe it's going to carry on and just move through that area.
That's right. I mean, you know, if you look at the geological architecture, as I've said earlier, I was going to say, it's not rocket science. It's quite complex. One has to be a geologist to understand it. But the deposition, the volcanic action, all of the things what were happening in geological time, the Congo and Zambia, it's just, you're talking about hundreds of millions of years versus recent history for political boundaries. So it's kind of nonsense to say, right, okay, draw a line there. That's where the Congo starts, and that's where you've got all your copper. Draw a line there, that's where Zambia starts, and there is no copper. You know, I mean, it's almost nonsense. They like, you know, you look up the coast and you go from Yarmouth to Long Nidri, you know, that's the east coast of the United Kingdom, you know, and it's, that's, what is that? Where is Long Nidri being in Scotland and Yarmouth being down the southern end, probably talking about 500 or 600 miles. We're talking a few kilometres here, of the, you know, 660 kilometres. When you talk about architecture, geological architecture, you're actually talking about all the predispositions and being in place. You're not talking about one missing. You're not talking about boxes. We wish to be ticked. Every single box for the architecture has been ticked.
Okay. Well, we wish you luck, and we look forward to getting some results, both from this gold project in Bazant, which does sound very, very interesting from what you were saying, the size of some of these gold nuggets and the ability to increase the resource there looks pretty damn prospective. And yet we live in hope for Hope and Garup.
That's right. Hope and Garup is well named, but we're very confident. And as you say, we regard ourselves as fortunate having got this. You know, as I say, it just didn't pop out of the blue again. We've been working on this gold project for a good couple of years now. And so we didn't just drop into our laps. We're the company to go to now. Everybody knows that when we get a project, we get stuck into it, not just get a project and then talk around it. We actually get stuck in. You won't believe, you know, I don't want to repeat myself, Kevin, but the activities, and, you know, I was talking to Martin this morning, and the geologists of all, we've recruited two more, and they're all going out their various destinations. Drug contracts are being signed. We are really determined to make something of it, and we know we're in the right place. We know we're in the right place at the right time, and we know we're in the good commodity, and the right commodity. And I've all been people, project, and places. I'm as excited as I've been in my career about the prospects, and as downhearted as I've ever been in my career about why the market just isn't in coming on board to we juniors. But that's not my job, is it? I mean, you know, I can be as downhearted as I like. I'm just going to get on with it, and hopefully I'm going to make a major return to our shareholders. That's what the board's about. That's what the guys on the ground are about. And we're working flat out for our shareholders.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to come. I'm sure it's going to come. But yeah, we will see. I think the market is changing. And also there's a big realization that there is a lot of resource in Zambia. And I think that you're positioned as well as you could imagine to try and make the most of that. So, yeah. We look forward to speaking to you in the not too distant with more news.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you. Thank you, Phil.
Yeah, on that note, we'll say Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Bazant Resources. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.